Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt, another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 79. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Of course, I continue to learn as I go through this and teach and do more podcasts and get more questions and all sorts of crazy things. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Check out the show notes. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. That's where you can chime in on comments and such, or ask questions, or see strange photos about guitars and different funny things, or other information that may not be shared on the Guitar Podcast episodes. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. So today is another listener feedback episode. Got all sorts of good, crazy, different things. Crazy. Why do I keep on saying crazy? Right, because I don't have anything better to say, because I'm an idiot. So, just a little bit of information about what's going on with me is I just started a new job. Today was my second day on the job, and I'm like learning all sorts of things about the company and processes and technology that's there and what I'll be responsible for, what I'm taking over, what, you know, trying to help out and develop a strategy going forward. And I tell you, every time I change a job, every time I catch a cold, and you know, Monday I go into work, and it was interesting. It was really cool and exciting, and I thought everything's cool. I'm not going to catch a cold. Midway through the day today, my throat started hurting a little bit, and I've sneezed a little bit this evening, and I'm like, oh great, here we go. So I've had some emergency and keep drinking some water and stuff, and hopefully we're good. Hopefully we're good, but we'll see. Anyway, just a little background there. Okay, so I have to share with you something that a message I got from Darren on Facebook. Hey Lauren, hey Lauren, I wanted to write you and say thank you for doing the podcast. I recently found it and have been listening to the episodes for a month or so. You've been a great source of entertainment, information, and ideas. And you do it all for free? You're amazing. Thanks again. I have many ideas and questions for discussions on the podcast. So today, I'll just start with this. Capacitors. Although I'm not sure if you've discussed this in detail already, I'm a do-it-yourself gearhead. When I was younger, I went to a luthier school and acquired many great skills, but I'm always learning new stuff. Trying out a bunch of caps can be costly and arduous, as I'm sure you know. So in my search for knowledge, I found a good video that has sound examples. After listening to this, I decided to buy some PIO caps. The result has been amazing. I have modded many guitars and pedals for myself and friends. What I did with my Tele is by far the best customizing I have ever done. Here's the rundown. And he talks about a Squire 69 thin line. And he has a 0.047 MFD PIO cap. Texas Special Pickup, CTS POTS 250s, of course. DiMarzio selector switch, six saddle bridge, and a 2011 Nashville Tele Grover Occlusion tuners. It's a great guitar. This guitar is now amazing. The Tele pickup from Craig. The Tele I picked up from Craigslist for $275 with a hard case. Caps, bridge, and pickups from eBay. Everything else from our local big box guitar store. So my question for discussion is your opinion on different types of capacitors, example, orange drops, bubble bees, tropical fish, paper and oil, that's a PIO, Mylar, etc., etc., etc. Thanks again for all you do for your faithful listeners. Dan. in British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Anyway, I'm going to post a link to this video out on the blog in the show notes. But I'm going to try to get some audio here recorded on here. And if it doesn't do real well, I'll figure out a way to get this on here. But I want to address one thing. Thanks for the props, Darren. I really appreciate it. You say you've been a great resource, a great source of entertainment and information and ideas. And you do it all for free. Well, yes, I do it all for free. However, if you would like to support the Guitar Podcast in a small way, in a very passive way, you can do that by going to theguitarpodcast.net and if you're going to, say, buy some songs or videos or movies or album on iTunes, just go to my website and click on the iTunes link, and it doesn't cost you any more, just a few more links, and I get a little something from passing you through to iTunes to make the purchase. It'd help out. Or if you were going to buy some strings or a guitar or whatever from, say, Sam Ash, you do the same thing. It's a very passive way of doing it, and I'm not asking you for any money directly. Actually, money comes from Sam Ash and iTunes. It doesn't come from you necessarily. It's just an action you could take to help out. And I think I've said this before, I will never ask for donations on this podcast. I will never ask for or set up a PayPal link to make donations to the Guitar Podcast. I am not going to do that. But if you want to support the Guitar Podcast in any way, this is basically the way that I am setting it up, so that you could if you want to. If you don't, no big deal. But see, this way, you're not spending any extra money. You're just taking a couple extra clicks. Very simple, very easy. Just like that. So capacitors. What my research has been is that, I pretty much stick to your traditional valued capacitors for, say, for your Les Paul, the 0.022s. I always put those in with humbuckers. The 0.047 are pretty good for your single coil pickups. It's basically what I've done. I like a classic tone, so I try to go with my Les Paul. I got some vintage Bumblebees, and I put those in there in that so that I could have that vintage sound. I'm sure I would have been probably perfectly happy with some paper and oil caps, and may have gotten something more reliable from the paper and oil caps because they're newly manufactured. I mean, even in my shredder guitar that has, try to get that modern sound and everything, I put paper and oil caps in there so it'd still have a good vintage kind of a tone, for whatever it's worth. And you can really get into a lot of different capacitors and find out what's really going to work for you without spending a ton of money, honestly. I mean, if you went with, Orange Drops, you're not going to, they don't cost a ton of money. They don't cost a whole lot. When you get into vintage Bumblebees, those are very expensive. I don't know anything about the Tropical Fish, honestly. Paper and oil, they can be, they can be anywhere from like $6, $8, or $12 a cap, and they're nice. I do like the paper and oil; they're pretty nice. But I my experience and what I've read online, that if you, as far as the values are concerned, if you wanted to go away from the traditional setup for the different values of capacitors, a lot of the Nashville guys are going with the 1.0 capacitors instead of the 0.047s. And they're doing a lot of different variations, but for some reason they're going with the 1.0s. And my understanding about it is that when you go with basically the higher rating, the more high end gets through as you roll it off. You don't get to roll off as much. I'm thinking that that's the case. But pretty much my experience, I've stuck with what they've done. And you know, I mean, if you, it's kind of like whenever, if this helps, whenever you're buying a new, say a new effects pedal to change your tone or get something different, something kind of lively, what's the average that you spend on it? 70 to 150 bucks, something like that. Just depending on your taste. Imagine spending that on various capacitors. And I mean, it may sound a lot for these little things, but there are some people who are really into experimenting with their capacitors. And when, you know, I mean, I have honestly felt like I've been splitting hairs with capacitors over the years, and you know, maybe it's making a huge difference, maybe it's not. Maybe my ears aren't, you know, I've talked about this before in earlier episodes about, you know, I'm getting up there in the years, and maybe I'm not hearing the high end like I should, but I still think I have pretty good tone. But, you know, for your average dude like me, I'm not sure that I need to do a whole lot like that. But, I mean, it is a hobby. I mean, if you can have the resources to spend it on it in the time and want to do it, by all means do it. If I were a professional, I'd probably spend a lot more time on it and everything. But, you know, my real pastime here is, you know, enjoying talking about guitars and learning more and stuff and playing around with them. So eventually maybe I will, you know, throw, say, $100 at some different capacitors and see how they go, say, in my Les Paul. But, you know, I hope that provides you with some decent feedback. And thanks a lot for the question. A little follow-up. I've got several people who have emailed me and posted on the Guitar Podcast wall that the maroon and black amp in GarageBand is based off of a Vox AC30. And since I don't play around with GarageBand, don't have experience with it, I wouldn't have known, but I'd really appreciate getting the feedback from the audience and letting me know and letting you all know. So I don't remember who the guy was who was asking about that, but there you go. I think I already posted on there, but for the broader audience, that's what it is. I just wanted to let you know I am watching Game 4 of the NBA Finals. This is June 2012, and yes, I'm pulling for OKC. I really dig Kevin Durant. I really like his game. I dig it. So, just my two cents there. I gotta share this with you. This is probably one of the best things that's been posted on the Guitar Podcast wall on Facebook. And possibly the best, I don't know, guitar rant or whatever, but this is just great. I love it. This is from John Parr. He's one of the earliest people I remember being on the Guitar Podcast Facebook wall, and I've gotten emails from him and posts on here and comments, and it's just great. They've always been cool. John wrote, "When will the world understand that they don't... No. When will the world understand? They don't understand that the average guitarist needs a Les Paul, a Strat, a Tele, and a backup. Those guitars need to be plugged into an amp, and you need a Marshall for dirt and a Fender for clean. It's also law that every guitarist has a Boss Tuner pedal, even if they don't have a board. Then, if you've got a board, I think there are laws against having less than 5 pedals on it. I don't make the rules. I just follow them." I love that. I love it. And you know, I think there should be a rule that if you have a board, you cannot have less than 5. If you have less than 5, you might as well not have a board, right? And yes, the Boss TU2 tuner is pretty much an essential, honestly. I've had a Fender tuner, and it was okay, but, you know, I don't know. The Boss TU2 seems to be very reliable. Oh, and also operates, you can daisy chain out of it. So if you run power into it, you can run a daisy chain out of it. It has an input of power and an out of power. So you can just let your power go on down the line. It's really cool. Boss is an awesome company. Again, not a sponsor. I'm just saying, all right? Okay. But great, great post from John. Thanks a lot, buddy. Oh, okay. So I posted, of course I'm pulling for OKC, and Adam on Twitter says, Seattle is the home of Hendricks and Cobain. You can't pull for a stolen team. Man, I don't know why they couldn't hold on to him. I don't know, man. I don't know the full story, but all I know is I dig Kevin Durant, all right? The guy, I dig his game. And I think Westbrook's gotten kind of a bad rap, although Game 3 he did make some bonehead moves, but he got really lambasted. He got blasted for Game 2, and I didn't really necessarily see it was him, you know. Anyway, and of course you're talking to a guy who's an Indy Colts fan. So talk about stolen teams. I mean, we kind of invented it, I think. Not that it's right. I'm just saying. Right? Oh, yeah. Phil asks, are you guys based in Canada? And my reply is, no, I am in Indiana. And it's not a bunch of guys. It's pretty much just me. I have some buddies I do videos with. That I videotape them doing stuff, or they videotape me doing stuff, and so on and so forth. But really, Guitar Podcast is me. And, I do have a sponsor review board, so, that if any one of, what is it, the five or six guys who are on this board, if any one of them say, no, man, I don't dig that company, they did me wrong, or whatever like that, and, man, yeah, there's no sponsor. I don't, but right, so far we just have iTunes and Sam Ash. There's one other I'm working on something pretty big. It takes a little bit, but anyway. So there is another message on here. All right. Holy crap, this is 10 minutes long. Yeah, I'm going to post this out on the blog and probably on the Facebook page. This is the guitar tone capacitors part one, evaluating material types. It is from John Planets. I'm not sure if that's his real name or not, but anyway, this is planets.com. Interesting stuff. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I think there's been some confusion about potentially what the Guitar Podcast really is. I mean, if you've listened to all 78 episodes, you probably understand that this is pretty much a monologue of me talking about guitars. I think I've had, out of the 78 episodes, maybe 4 interviews. And, there were interviews of, a pedal builder, a professional musician, and two guitar store owners. From about two different perspectives, and that's pretty much it. I'm working on another. I'm really trying to get Brian Wampler of Wampler Pedals. Really, we keep emailing, but it's just not coming together. I can't wait to interview Brian. The video, his pedals are so great, and anybody who deals with him I'm just really excited, and I'm very frustrated, as I think he is too, that we haven't been able to work this out yet, but I can't wait to interview him. But, as far as just having folks come on the show and talk, I don't do that. And I hope you all understand that that's just, this is the model, pretty much. So, I hope that makes sense. I don't mean to offend anybody, but pretty much it's me talking. And me talking with experts on certain subjects occasionally. Like I said, Brian Wampler is somebody I want to talk to. I'm working out something with Tom Weber. Talk with him. And these aren't just regular guys like me. I'm just a regular guy who has a podcast. So that's pretty much that. There was a discussion on the Facebook page with Mike. I know I'm going to say this wrong. Mike Montney. He's a guy who's always on, always talking, chatting it up. It's really cool. We get to talking about like the secret to get the Boston tone. And he talks about using a chorus or a flange, or and I see that, and subtlety is always the key to getting many, many things in guitar tones. And he mentions the half-cocked wah to get those cool sounds they used back then. And I mentioned that, yeah, half-cocked wah, he totally gets Boston sound. Told him about how I pulled the guts out of an old wah and put it in a case with only the switch and the knob and named it Tom, after Tom Scholz. And he's like, really? I should do that. You should post some pics on how to do that. So what I'm going to have to do is take some photos and of the Tom pedal. Basically, I went to a pedal parts website. I think it is called Pedal Parts Plus or something like that. And got the case for the pedal, drilled the holes in it, and took the guts out of a crybaby wah and put it in there. And it works fine. I don't have it on my pedal board. It's just one of those things. It's like I had three wah pedals, okay? I gave one to my niece and kind of cannibalized this other one for this Tom pedal. So I'm going to have to take some photos and post those out here should post them on the Facebook page and on the blog, on the show notes. But wanted to share that. I thought that was, you know, something worthy of being shared, of course. Another comment from Mike on the Facebook page complimented me on, he says, awesome podcast today, number 76. I can really attest to that Fender Hot Rod Blues Junior amp that you mentioned that guy chose over all those other vintage amps. I have a Fender Hot Rod DeVille, which is a bigger, higher wattage amp that is very similar to those blues and basement style amps. With the controls on top, to me it beats hands down the Vox ACs and any other clean amp. It works best for stomp block boxes as well, as the reverb is second to none. Well, you know, Fender reverb, you know, it's legendary. So, you know, my opinion, I think you can definitely get a decent blues amp for well under $1,000 in the modern market. You might want to put some better tubes in it, but, you know, that's just going to add a little bit. I don't know about your, you know, if you want to change out the, if you'd like to change out the speaker or something, that'd be something else. A lot of times these amps sound pretty good straight out of the box. All right, so I know I'm kind of working backwards on my questions and feedback. I've gone kind of scatterbrained on the order of all this stuff, but I'm really trying to knock these out and make a nice long podcast for y'all. Got an email from Inga Olson. She plays with Wanton Looks. It's all female type of a punk band. Yeah, they're pretty cool. And you can check them out at wantonlooks.com. I'll post a link to their site on the show notes. And they have a bunch of videos out on YouTube, too, so you can check them out there, too. Kind of dig them. Of course, I like the Donnas, too, so, I mean, kind of dig that sort of thing. And, yes, when I was a kid, I liked the Go-Go's, too. But I like the Donnas better than the Go-Go's. I like the Wanton Looks better than the Go-Go's now, too. Because there's some attitude there. And I dig attitude. All right, so Inga says, and I think that's the right way of pronouncing her name, hopefully. I really enjoy your podcast, and seemingly I am the only girl to write in and possibly maybe one of few girls who listen. Anyways, I too am a guitar hoarder geek. This is my current setup. A Gibson Les Paul Custom Black Beauty from 76 sounds badass. Into an Ernie Ball Junior Volume Pedal. Hey, I got one of those too. A Boss TU-2 tuner coming off the tuner output into the volume pedal. I got one of those too. Volume pedal goes to Electro Harmonix Jekyll. The Electro Harmonix. I'm not sure what the Electro Harmonix is. It just says Jekyll and Hyde distortion overdrive pedal. So I think she's talking about two different pedals there, I'm hoping, because she's got to beat the bare minimum of five pedals on her pedal board, right? So I'm going to give her two right there for that one, because I think she's talking about electro-harmonics, like a Big Muff 2 or something like, Big Muff Pi, I'm sorry, or a Jekyll and Hyde. And then to the Boss DD20 delay pedal, which is awesome. And finally to the Fender Hot Rod DeVille 212 combo amp. So she meets the bare minimum of five. And I'll say right now, Inga, if you don't have the five, you got to get another pedal on there to meet five. Because you have, we've made a new rule now, guitar podcast rule. If you have a pedal board, you have to have five pedals, bare minimum. And yes, a volume pedal does constitute as a pedal because they cost money too, right? They take up space. They take up a lot of space. So, anyway, let's get done with the rest of her email. Oh, before I do that, if I have other girls listening to the guitar podcast, post on the Facebook page. Tell me what, you know, that you're there. I mean, we're the most of guys. I thought this was the boys club or the He-Man Woman Haters Club. We're just no girls allowed. So it's really cool to hear that there's a girl listening and chiming in with the email. And I hope to hear from you on Facebook page and email me with questions. Just want to hear from you. It'd be really cool to know if they're, you know, more than just guys. Or more than just one girl on you. So don't let Inga be the only one hearing this. I know my wife listens to this. So she's like, you're a goofball talking to your computer. So, so now I'm going to get to the rest of her email. But first. All right, we're at 37 minutes. Okay. So the rest of her email is, I have all this powered by Voodoo Labs pedal power, and I've never had an issue with that. And, you know, I have one of those too, and it's awesome. The DD20 requires more power, but that pedal's power is awesome. You can adjust so much on it. It looks like you have that too. Yes, I do. So this is my issue. I used to have a low-end Paul Reed Smith guitar that I played with the same pedal chain. I never had any feedback issues, and it sounded surprisingly good. My issue came when I switched guitars. I guess first, I should say that I play in a pretty loud band and a lot of distortion. I like to have my amp on dirty channel, but then also with more gain, there is a button that adds even more distortion on to the dirty channel on the DeVille amp. So now that I have some of the volume on my so now that I have the Les Paul, the tone is amazing, but it feeds back when I have the settings the way I want. At first, I was just rolling off some of the volume on my guitar, but I really don't want to do that. I like my guitar sound bright in the bridge position. Everything dimed on the guitar, and with my volume all the way up on the guitar, it's especially bad if I am in palm muting. I fear that I need to compromise on my sound to get it not to feed back. I don't really want to lower my pickups on my guitar either. It just sounds so good. My pickups have the gold pickup covers from the 70s, so maybe that's making it worse too. I also tried relying mostly on my amp's distortion and just a bit from the pedal, but I still had the same issue. And this is with the amp volume on about 2.5 to 3. So it's not terribly loud. Well, maybe it's pretty loud. Mom and Dad think it's loud, right? And she says, you know, P.S., check out my band called The Wanton Looks. I think it's Wanton Looks. I don't know. I'm not pronouncing anything right. I'm the lead guitarist, and we're actually going on tour this summer. We'll be playing in Indianapolis July 12th at the Melody Inn Tavern. Have I heard of that place? Yes, I have, and I followed up with that, just a little bit of information on it. It's a punk club that loves punk people, and, it's not only punk, but they apparently are really nice to their musicians. They don't pay a ton. It's in a rough neighborhood, but I think I think they usually get a decent turnout. So your feedback issue, without really getting in there and trying a bunch of different guitars and seeing what the real issue is, I can't really give you a whole lot of feedback on that. I will say that. I'm pretty sure Jimmy Page removed the pickup cover on the bridge pickup on his 59 Les Paul. I don't know if that's, you know, a big deal or not, how much of a big deal that is, or what, you know, I don't know. I know people have removed the covers from them and left them on and so on and so forth. I don't know if it makes it even any difference at all. I wonder if the amp is so close to your pointing right at you that it's making it so that you're getting feedback whenever you're palm muting. You know, that may be an issue. I suggest going out to mylespaul.com forums and posing the question there. I'd really take your rig into a guitar shop with trusted folks there. I need to quit saying guys, because it's not just guys, it's girls. And when I say guys, I don't necessarily mean just boys or whatever. Just to clarify. All right. That there aren't just, you know. Okay. I was hoping to get through this thing without editing, but it's all screwed up. In many, many ways. And my wife is eating a snack here, which I want to eat too. So then that would have to be edited out. Anyway, Inga, I would take it to your local guitar shop and let them take a look at it and see so that, you know, you can get something good there. If they're, hopefully they're not a bunch of jerks, because, I mean, I know there are plenty of guitar shops where they're jerks. You go in there with some, hopefully there's some nice folks there to help you out. Sorry I couldn't really be of more help to you there. I wonder if, you know, you were happy with the Paul Reed Smith tone and the tone that you were getting from that guitar, that the pickups from your 76 Les Paul are so much hotter. If they're T-tops, they may be a lot hotter. There's another pickup that Gibson made in the 70s that was like twice the output of any other that they've produced, and you may very well have those pickups. I forget what they're called. Okay, I found the name of the pickups. You may have Dirty Fingers pickups that are made in the late 70s, and they're super hot output. So you may be dealing with trying to tame a wild beast there. So again, I would take it to your local guitar shop and let them take a look at it, listen, and maybe try some other guitars through it and see what's up. Try to set it up the way you have it set up at your whenever you're playing out and stuff, and what you're when you're dealing with that feedback issue. I hope that helps. I'm sorry I wasn't more help than this, but best I could do without really being there. Again, the link to her band's website is wontonlooks.com, and check out their videos on YouTube. It's pretty cool stuff. All right, so I get this email from David, and it's titled D. Dario's EXP Coated String Review. It's in regard to my YouTube video review of the D. Dario EXPs on my acoustic, on my Taylor. And for the record, folks, those have been on there for 13 months now. All right, so David says, "Hello, Lauren. Thank you for the podcast. I just put the same strings on my Gibson Hummingbird Pro Cutaway. The previous strings sound beautiful and warm, but they were on there forever, so I changed to the same in your podcast. I wish I would have seen the podcast before. I would have not made the change to these strings. I hate the way they sound. They are much too bright for me, really twangy. Did the sound change? If it did not change a lot for you, I'm going to change them out immediately. What strings do you think have the deepest, warmest sound? I hate bright, twangy sounding strings. Thanks for your help, David." All right, well, I think if you watched the video, I thought that they were too bright. And honestly, they did dull down a little bit and warm up over time. I'm still meaning to do another video follow-up review after a year of those strings being on there, that they actually sound better now that they're more dead. if I were to do it again, I probably would not go with those coated strings. I'm not really a coated string fan. Some people are. I know there are plenty of people who watched that video who thought they loved the sound and they wanted them, and they said that they were going to purchase them now, and they're perfectly happy with them, and that's great. You know, and like I said before, what do I say, folks? What do I say, honey?
Trust your ear.
That's it. Trust your ear. You know, if it sounds good to you, man, that is your sound. Now, me personally, I like the Martin SPs. And they're 12s. I like the 12-gauge, and they're nice and warm sounding. They don't last a long time, but what you get out of them, it's really, really good. Well, it's like eating ice cream. You know, it doesn't last forever, but it's great while you're eating that ice cream, right? Okay.
Okay.
So there's a material I just got a hold of, and basically it's a liquid cleaner that will go on that you can put on anything that's non-porous material. And metal is a non-porous material. And what it basically does is it knocks all the water out of it and puts a seal between the metal and everything else. And I'm going to try, whenever I change those strings, anyway, before I change out my strings again with the Martin SPs, since I know they don't last a terribly long time, but I love their tone, I'm going to wipe this stuff all up and down every string before I put it on, so that they're already prepped with this material on them. It's not like they're really coated, like coated strings, your typical coated strings, but they would be treated with this material. So I'm going to do that, and if it turns out well and they last longer than like 3-4 weeks, not that I don't play my acoustics that much. It's not like I play it a ton, but see, the thing is, it doesn't matter. They still die. So I'll give you feedback on that. They still look bright and they sound, they have good rich tone. They don't die on me. Because I think that's the thing about them, is that they have a nice warm tone right from the beginning, and then as they kind of die off, then they get really dull sounding. So, but yeah, you can get like 3 good weeks out of them, and then boom, they're done. So let's see what we can do about making that last longer. So yeah, David, I'm not a big fan of them. So, but if you're willing to wait and you want to keep those strings on there, if you don't mind having those strings on there for a year, man, they'll sound pretty good in a couple months, maybe in a month or so. Here's some feedback from Chris. He says, I want to say he, hopefully it's a he, sorry, it's not. Of course, my name's Lauren, but you hear me talk, so you can kind of, hopefully you can tell that I'm a guy and not a girl. But an email, whenever it says Chris, it could be a guy or a girl. I'm going to assume it's a guy because I know from analytics it's showing that majority of the audience is guys. I don't, other than Inga, our one token lady, I know that I'm pretty sure we're all guys, but if there are any other girls, let me know. It'd be awesome to hear. Okay, I know I've already said that. Chris says, great info and discussion. I just started listening yesterday on iTunes and have already blasted through about 10 episodes. I appreciate what you're doing and hope you keep it up for a while. I've been playing guitar for about 15 years and have been stuck in a box for about 10 of those 15. You've got me excited again about gear and equipment and just playing in general, so just wanted to say thanks. Well, you're welcome, Chris. I'm glad, you know, when I get that kind of feedback, man, I really dig it. Keeps me going on this stuff. Anyway, my wife wouldn't let me quit because she knows I like it. And question from Chris. Are there any episodes that cover tube amps, reviews, purchasing, maintenance, etc.? Didn't see any after a quick search through show notes. I am new to them. Always owned solid state, but I am currently shopping. I will say definitely go tube amp, whether you're going clean or dirty. Definitely a tube amp. I mean, you don't have to spend an arm and a leg on a tube amp to get a good tube amp. I mean, tube amp is better than most any solid state amp. I know there are custom people out there be like, hey, you know, was it Albert King used custom amps, and that's fine, but I'm not Albert King. The Roland Jazz Chorus is an awesome amp, awesome. Even has a nice dirty side, but, you know, for clean, I'd always go with something like that or a Twin Reverb. There are episodes out there about, you know, go ahead and do a search about, like, buying an amp. Early episodes, there's some early episodes that have been where I've talked about tube amps, buying an amp, buying your first guitar, those sorts of things. Go to the early episodes and you'll find some good stuff. So, I also recommend listening right from the beginning when I was just starting out on this stuff and really kind of maybe a little, I don't know. Yes, I'm amateur, but more amateur than I am now at doing this. And so hopefully that helps you out. As far as maintenance is concerned, you know, be sure that your tube, you know, if you hear a major change in your amp, like the guy earlier in the episode about, we was talking about losing distortion, you know, first thing is look at your tubes. Check out your tubes. If it's not as loud, your power tubes are probably going. If you have, like, only two power tubes and it starts acting funny, you might want to really shut down really quick, because I've heard tubes die. And when one tube is getting too weak, the other one compensates and overcompensates until it burns itself out and dies. And sometimes that can have adverse effects on the inside of your amp, like blowing capacitors and resistors and other components in there. And worst thing to happen could be if you blow your transformer. Because transformers ain't cheap, folks. And anyway, they could be like a third of the cost of your amp. If you blow one or one of the other input or output or both of those transformers, it's pretty much, you know, you're getting a new amp at that point, or at least half of a new amp in the repair, in the cost of the trainees and the tech doing the work for you. So, you know, just keep an eye on that. If you're changing tubes and your amp isn't like auto biased or non biased amp, then be sure that you have the amp bias to the tube rating. Get good tubes. Don't get cheap tubes. Don't get junky tubes. So that's my two cents on that. Hope that helps, Chris. Thanks for the feedback. On to the next one. Chad emails me in a follow-up email about spraying finish on a guitar. Says, Lauren, thanks very much for dedicating so much time to my email about spraying nitro. It was very helpful. Good. Glad it was. You asked, why would I want to spray nitro after spray painting it black? The answer is because I don't know any better. God, you gotta love that. You know, do any of us really know any better? I mean, you know, if you know too much going in, maybe you'd talk yourself out of doing it, you know. Anyway. We sprayed the body 12 years ago without doing anything to the wood but sanding. The body is alder, so grain filling isn't necessary from what I read. As it is now, no grain can be seen through the black paint. After I sprayed it black, I had some airbrush flames onto it that makes me hesitant to sand the paint and start over. Do you recommend using polyurethane instead of nitro? I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that than use nitro on my next guitar. I plan on doing the next one right away. You know, if it's paint, I don't know that poly is what you want to use. Why don't you just get it? I'd almost recommend just getting a clear coat of paint, the same kind of paint, you know, that you used on it. I mean, just get a, you know, whatever kind of paint you were using for the black. I don't mean if it's Krylon, it's Krylon, okay? I mean, I know some people go gasp and go, I can't believe you did, but I'm just saying. Pretty much at that point, whatever you want to do. It's got, you know, at least two different kinds of paint on there. So I guess the biggest thing is, if it's not a really super thick layer of paint, probably good to go. I'm not sure that there's any kind of a magic potion with nitro finish. I tend to like it just because, you know, it's thin and it's, you know, more of an organic material. Of course, the propellants in it, propellants in most of this stuff is, you know, toxic. But anyway, that's basically what I can say. I love the the answer. I love the answers because I don't know any better. That was classic. I had a discussion with a friend the other day who was talking about doing something, jumping into something, and he was doing a lot of research on it and just kind of hem-hawing about really going forward with it. And I relayed to him, somebody else had told me about, they were wanting to start a business, and they got to doing research on it and asking friends about it, and he just stopped. He said, I'm going to stop doing research on this. I'm going to stop asking my friends about it because, one, the research, I'm going to find all the reasons why not to do this. And asking my friends about, should I do this or whatnot. Your friends, especially if you're starting a business or some sort of venture or whatever, that's just out of the ordinary and not sitting around watching basketball every night or whatever, or watching TV, and, you know, like everybody else is doing, not stepping out of that norm into something that you may feel passionate about. Your friends, nothing against your friends, but all your friends are going to do, they're going to pull you right back into the bucket. They're going to say, oh, no, you shouldn't do that. It won't work out. You know, this won't be any good. You're just going to waste your time. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have an idea, you get just enough information, to get yourself started and go. You start getting into that point where it's you're finding out things of, oh, I shouldn't do it, man. Don't. You stop right there and just go do it, okay? And I love it that that's the way you've kind of approached this guitar, is that you just painted it and went, this works. You know, and airbrushed some flames on it. Hey, that's cool. And you're going to put a, you know, or sometimes you throw the rules out the window and just go for it, right? All right, folks. We're coming up on an hour, and it's getting late, so I'm just going to chill out for the rest of the night. Well, sometime I'm going to have to edit this thing, so I'm just going to pretty much wrap it up here. I want any of you ladies out there listening to the Guitar Podcast, let me know on the Facebook page. For the record, my wife is sitting right next to me while I said this. Cut. Oh, you got to keep that in there. It was just for comic relief. Maybe you're changing your mind about the Guitar Podcast now, right? It is a clean show. Anyway, I'd like a diverse audience. I've got people emailing me from all over the world, and they're all guys. And I get this one girl. It's pretty cool. And she's like a pro musician, so that's kind of cool. On that note, pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on Facebook or the show notes. If you liked what you heard today and you subscribed using iTunes or Zoom, please let them know by writing a review. Again, if you'd like to support the Guitar Podcast in a very passive way, if you're wanting to buy guitars, strings, or pedals, or a guitar, or an amp, or something like that, and you like working with Sam Ash, you want to order it through them or whatever, go to theguitarpodcast.net and click on the banner link to Sam Ash, and then go ahead and do your transaction from there. Same thing goes for iTunes. That way, you're not paying any extra. You just, by running the transaction through my site, I get a dime or two, which helps pay for hosting and you're supporting the show. You're showing your love for the L-Train here. Hey, just want to be sure that y'all remember, trust your ear. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hutt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.